and gentlemen, let's have a great welcome for Mr. Bobby Gay.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Good that you're doing good this morning. I got to tell you, and as everybody in here is pretty much from Georgia, lives in Georgia, has an office in Georgia, transacts business in Georgia, right? So we all know Georgia people. And when you go to vacation, if you're like me, and I'm originally from Ranburn, Alabama. Anybody know where that's at?
No.
Just over the Georgia line over into, right off I-20 and get you over into Alabama. And on vacations as a kid, we would go to a place called Ruby Falls. How many of you ever been there in Chattanooga, Tennessee? My wife and I decide that we're going to go to Ruby Falls. And we go a few years ago. So we're going down there, and as you know, it is basically a humongous waterfall thousands of feet below the surface of the earth. And you go down and you look at the stalactites and the, what are they called? Y'all are great. Stalagmites. You got all that stuff down there. And you know, they have that little thing called the bacon and eggs or the ham. And you know what I'm saying? And they say, this looks like an elephant. And yeah, they got all the little things. And then you get to the very end of the thing. And there's this darkness, right? And then all of a sudden, here comes the music. La, 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 la. And the you know, you got the beautiful waterfall. And that seems beautiful. And I had great memories of Ruby Falls as I was a child. Loved it. But it was kind of different when you're an adult and you go. Because I forgot that you have to go down thousands of feet into the center of the stinking earth. The second thing that I forgot about my trip to Ruby Falls was this. The elevator is an open-faced elevator. So you actually see the wall. I mean, you actually see the rock as you go down. And it's got just a little mesh thing there, you know, that keeps you from sticking your finger and touching it. And I'm sitting there, and we go down, and I'm like, no problem. But they have about 30 or 40 people on that little bitty elevator. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm a little bit bigger than when I was a kid. Life kind of happens, doesn't it? Kind of hits you sometimes. And I'm sitting in the elevator in the corner just all snug up like this. I'm talking about, woo! I mean, I was all just pressed in the corner. So no problem going down. But then it comes time for them to lift us up tens of thousands of feet to the surface of the earth. And we get in the elevator. And here I am. Fat man always gets in the corner. So I'm in the corner of the thing, and I'm like this. And I'm telling you, there's 20 folks in there, and we're like sardines all pressed in. And the thing starts going up, and everything's going fine until all of the sudden, we come to a sudden screeching halt. I'm like, what's happening? And I'm like, he's like, don't panic. There's a little dude in the elevator. No problem. Don't worry about it. So he gets on the phone and calls up to the surface. He says, okay. He gets off the telephone and looks at everybody. He says, no problem. We're just having a little bit of technical difficulties. When I am suspended 1,000 feet, you know, from the bottom, I don't want to have technical difficulties in an elevator. And God is my witness, I swear to you, we stood there for what seemed an eternity, and all of a sudden, the bottom fell out from under us. Oh, scared to death. Now, I don't know how far we dropped, but it seemed like it was like, you know, I mean, tens of feet. But it was probably only an inch, but enough that the bottom fell out. That's scary. And I'm sitting there going, okay, that's more than a technical difficulty. Have y'all ever seen television shows with elevators? And where an elevator goes crashing down, and you know what happens? It's suspended with a metal wire, right? And all of a sudden, those bands start going, And I'm just picturing in my mind that this thing is unraveling. And I'm just thinking. So as I'm sitting here in the corner, I start looking over my shoulder. And everybody is staring at the fat man. I could feel the piercing glares. If Tubby wasn't in here, we'd be on the surface of the earth. I'm telling you, children were crying. I was crying. And all of a sudden we stood there again, and guess what? It did it again. I'm like, dude, get on the phone. Figure out what's going on. He calls on the little telephone back up to the surface. Gets off the phone. I'm like, what is it? He's like, they're having to pull us up by hand. Can you imagine the poor fool that woke up that morning going to work, like, all I got to do is press buttons to get the elevator up, and all of a sudden he's having to lift me thousands of feet by hand. I'm telling y'all, we inched up, and it took forever to get back to the surface. Now, I tell you this, hey, and I have made a promise that I will never, ever go back to Ruby Falls. So I tell you that story to kind of relate that to our current real estate market. You see, the media and everybody out there is telling us that everything is horrible, that everything is coming to a crash, that everything is just horrible. And the truth is this: while we were going up steady and consistently, we just had a little bump in the road. What seemed like might be a fall of hundreds of feet is only just a little shake and maybe a fall of an inch. Let me tell you something. It is a great time to be in real estate. Can I get someone saying amen? I love an amen. Amen. It is a great time to be in real estate. And it is a great time to be a real estate professional. And it is a great time to be a buyer of real estate. Great time. And here's what I worry with my realtor friends out there is that we're not getting the word out. It is a time to buy. If you are a prudent buyer, now is the time to buy. Let me give you just a couple of statistics about your peers in the state of Georgia. Our pre-license enrollments are down almost 70% over the last couple of years. 70% fewer people are entering the field of real estate in the state of Georgia. What should you say to that?
Amen.
Amen. That's more of a piece of the pie for me, right? Second thing. Do you realize that 35% of the people who are actively licensed in the state of Georgia will not renew their real estate license?
Amen.
Amen. Now, real estate is a great time to get in. A wise man once told me this, and I thought this was wonderful. He said, Bobby, the best time to get on a train is when it stopped. Let me tell you, there's a lot of wisdom in that. Most people will try to get on the train when it's at full speed. One thing that I have noticed, and you're going to get killed, one thing that I have noticed in life is this. If you will pretty much do what everybody else is not doing, you're going to be okay. When you see other people getting out of real estate, that's the time that you ought to rejoice and be glad that you're in it. You're here today getting 3 hours of continuing education. You're here to learn something about foreclosures. You're here to learn something about short sales. You're bettering yourself. You're here with other people to encourage one another. And for that, I want everybody to stand up and give yourself a round of applause here this morning. Do that. Come on now. You deserve it. Come on. Let me tell you, we're going to talk to you today about how to make more sales with foreclosures and short sales. And I need to, for a second, tell you how I got into the wonderful world of foreclosures. I was a recent graduate from JSU. How many of you in here really know what JSU stands for? Yeah, but not really. JSU stands for Just Show Up. You just show up a couple times, you know, they'll throw a diploma. No, it's not really. I worked hard for my diploma and really love it. But I went to Jacksonville State University armed with a business degree. And I got out, and I love to watch television. And I'm a night owl. Let me tell you something. It killed me this morning. I set 4 alarm clocks this morning. Because I love to sleep late. And I'm sitting there going, if I don't set 4 alarm clocks, I won't get up. Now, when I was in college, I was so poor. Do you know what my alarm clock was? 32 ounces of water before I went to bed. Try it. It'll get you up. But I got out of Jacksonville State University. I love watching late night television. As I was watching television, I would watch some of these infomercials and stuff on foreclosures. And they would say, you know, buy this property with no money down. And, you know, you can make tens of gazillions of dollars. And I'm like, really? Well, I think I'll order that. Let me read that. See what it's all about. How many of y'all in here, don't you lie to me. How many of you here bought that same course? Come on. Come on. That's right. There's a lot. There's probably more than that that won't admit it. So we get this course, and you get the course, and what do you learn?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing, other than you out $200.
Amen.
Wasn't no amen. There you go. Wasn't no getting rich from buying that course, was there? But still, I did know that the foreclosure process actually happened. I knew that properties actually sold, and I just didn't know anything about it. So I started doing just a little bit of research. And one day, I found out in the newspaper that foreclosures are advertised in the legal newspaper of the county. So I get me a newspaper, and I start reading it. And I'm reading all these things, and it tells me when the upcoming foreclosure sale is. And I think, wonderful, great, I will go to the sale. I go to the sale. Now, this is phenomenal. I go to the foreclosure sale in Carroll County, Georgia. Any Carroll Countyans in the room? Anybody at all? Nobody in Carroll County? We go to the Carroll County Courthouse, and I stand there, and I've just got my little newspaper, got me a little notebook. There's about 40 people out there, everybody asking questions. I don't know. Maybe I look like I knew. We were sitting there. Someone taps me on the shoulder, and it's a high school buddy of mine by the name of Dan. And Dan says, Bobby, what are you doing here? I said, I'm trying to learn about these foreclosures. He said, well, I saw one in the newspaper. He said, and I know where it's at. And he said, Bobby, I want to try to buy it. And I said, well, tell me just a little bit about this property. He said, it's beautiful. He said, it's a brick house. Where I come from, that's pretty cool. Someone say amen.
Amen.
We just lucky to have something that ain't on wheels, you know? You tell me it's a brick house, I'm all excited. He said it's 2 stories. He said got a full basement in it. Now, this is one, y'all, from a fella from Ramburn, Alabama. That's really impressive. It had a paved circular drive on it. I mean, no mud holes, no potholes. I'm talking about, you know, we're talking about the real stuff. Then he told me something that really, really got me excited. He said, Bobby, it's got 22 acres of land with it. Bowden, Georgia. He said, the first half of the property right behind the house is a pasture with horses in it. And it's got a big old barn, and it's got a big old storage building. Where I come from, a barn is a big deal. He said, the back half of the property is planted in pines. I said, you're kidding. So we did a little bit of research, didn't find out much about it, and went to the courthouse steps. And I'll never forget, we waited there for what seemed an eternity. And finally, after lunch, an attorney came out and cried the foreclosure. And he called that property. And here's what took us by total surprise. He said, the opening bid on the property is $42,000. We looked at each other, and I said, bid a dollar over. He goes, are you sure? I said, am I 22 acres in a brick house? Are you kidding? I said, yeah, you know, let's do it. He said, okay, dollar over. Y'all, he goes, any other bids? Nobody else was there. Go once, twice, three times, sold for $42,000. That's the way I like it. You talk about doing the courthouse step boogie. We was boogieing that. We were so excited. I mean, we was just like, yeah, we bought a house for $42,000. And he looks at us and he said, okay, that will be cash or certified funds. Oh, we didn't know we had to. Thought we might go get us a loan, you know, get the money for the property. And we said, dude, we don't have $42,000. He looked at us like we were the biggest idiots on the planet. And he said, look, fellas, I'm not supposed to do this. Do y'all think you can get the money? Yeah! We had not a clue where it was coming from. He said, I tell you what, we got a few hours before the thing's over. He said, come to my office just down the street. He said, if you'll bring in certified funds, he said, we'll let you have it. He said, if not, I got to go back to the steps and the bank will take it back. Y'all, we left out of there. I called everybody I knew. I called my uncles. I called my parents. I called everybody. He called everybody he knew. And we raised the $42,000 and bought that tremendous property for $42,000. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Now that got me excited about foreclosures. Got me very excited about foreclosures. So that's what set me up in the wonderful investing foreclosures. I'd just like to ask the question here. How many of you in here have bought a foreclosure property? Anyone in here? Oh, you guys are awesome. Wonderful. Does it not just make you feel good? Has everybody had positive experiences with it? Pretty much? Nobody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. There you go. All right, so let me tell you about the foreclosure process in the state of Georgia. We're going to talk a lot about short sales as well. But I want you to know about the foreclosure process in Georgia. Four ways for you to increase your sales with foreclosures and short sales. First thing that you can do to help yourself and make more sales is to help a financially burdened homeowner. How many of you know that a lot of people out there right now have a lot of debt? That there are a lot of financially burdened people. And you actually have an opportunity in this great real estate profession to help people out, to help those people who are financially burdened. You also have an opportunity to help some of the best people that have walked this planet. And those are the real estate investors. A lot of you had said that you had bought a foreclosure property. How many of you have bought any investment property at all? Raise your hand. How many of you, keeping your hands up, how many of you own your own home? Keep your hands up. So all of those, just about everyone in the room is a real estate investor. And there's a lot of people out there with a lot of money who would love to invest in real estate who really don't have an idea of how to get started. What a tremendous opportunity for you and I to go out and tell investors that it's a wonderful time to buy real estate, a wonderful time to get in. The third thing is you have an opportunity. Now, I say this one tongue in cheek, okay? You have an opportunity to help a lender or a government agency. I'm not all about helping government agencies, but they do have a lot of properties that, like, you know, HUD will take back, and you can actually help them unload them, which really ain't helping them. Who's it helping? It's helping you, right? It's helping in your customers and your clients. And finally, help yourself. One of the things that we're going to do today in this class, after we talk about short sales, we're going to actually take your realtor, real estate professional hat off, and I want you to, all of you, to put yourself in a position today, just for fun. Can we have fun just for a couple hours? Of a real estate investor. It'll help you when you're actually working with those real estate investors. Now, let's talk about the foreclosure process in Georgia. I don't know much about the foreclosure process in Alabama or North Carolina or Florida, but I know a lot about the foreclosure process in Georgia. And I looked up the definition of foreclosure, and it told me that it's a legal proceeding that bars or extinguishes a mortgagor's right of redeeming a mortgage estate. And I read that, and here's what I said. Huh? That didn't make a lot of sense to me. So I was able to summarize for you what the foreclosure laws are in the state of Georgia. And it basically says this. If you don't pay, you ain't a staying, right? Your tail's got to get out of the house. You can't live here for free. And that's pretty much what it is in the state of Georgia. But if you don't pay, you ain't going to be in the house. Now, there are three foreclosure opportunities in the state of Georgia. The first opportunity is properties that are pre-foreclosure. That means that the auction at the courthouse steps has not occurred. It may or may not have been advertised in the local newspaper at this point. But it's a house where a homeowner is financially strapped, burdened, they stop making payments, and it's about to go to foreclosure. Then comes the second step, which is at the courthouse steps. That's where they actually go to the steps and they cry foreclosure and a sale occurs right there outside of the courthouse. And finally, one of the areas that you as real estate professionals are very familiar with are post-foreclosure sales, and these are called REOs, or real estate owned, that are taken back by lenders and banks and governmental agencies. So three opportunities for foreclosure. Now, as far as the number of opportunities out there, and you could probably say this whether you're an investor, you've got investor hat on, or whether you've got real estate professional on. And the opportunities for you are greatest with pre-foreclosure. And it's all just a law of numbers. There's more properties that are pre-foreclosure. And then a fewer number of properties actually sell at the steps. Why? They may have sold pre-foreclosure. They may have done a short sale pre-foreclosure. They may have refinanced. They may have won the Georgia lottery. I was watching this guy, I was watching a few months back on the news about a fella that won the big game or whatever it is. And the news, Channel 2 News, was interviewing him. He had gone out to celebrate that night. Do you know what restaurant he went to celebrate? Po' Folks. I said, my goodness. So fewer at the steps, and then there are even fewer. Now you're probably sitting there, Bobby, wait a minute. There's a lot of REO or real estate owned property in the MLS. I've listed a lot of it. Isn't that where the greatest opportunity is as far as number of properties go? No. It's actually the fewest number of properties. How many of you agents in here have listed REO property from a bank or lending institution? Raise your hand. Okay. Several in the room have done that. I did not hear an amen on that one, did I?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Now let's talk about the real estate purchase in the state of Georgia and why a property would be going into foreclosure. Well, there's two ways that people buy real estate. The first way is they pay all cash. And if anyone in the room has all cash to buy properties, please see me in the break. I'd love to meet you. Maybe we can get together and do something. The second way that people buy properties is they finance the purchase. And that's the way the majority of people do. They have to have debt in order to purchase the property. And there are two documents that are executed. The first is a promissory note. The promissory note is simply a promise to repay. But a promissory note, of and by itself, is what? Useless. Unless there is collateral for the debt. And the collateral for the debt is in the security deed or the deed to secure debt. So they execute a deed to secure debt, which shows that they put the property up, collateral for the debt. Now let's talk about the security deed. It conveys legal title to the lender. If you have a mortgage, we actually don't have mortgages per se in the state of Georgia, but there's a security deed, a debt on your property, you actually do not legally own that property. We are a title theory state, and legal title vests with the lender. But what the lender does give you is equitable title. Equitable would mean fair, but it's fair only for two reasons. And the two reasons are to allow you to be responsible for the insurance and the property taxes on that property. And the deed to secure debt is recorded in the county records of the county where the property is located. The date that the security deed is filed affects the priority of the debt. The earlier filed security deeds have priority over those that are filed later. Y'all, this is vitally important when you're looking or evaluating foreclosures, and you need to know how this works. Let me have just a couple of who'd volunteer for me. Ma'am, what's your name?
Janice Callahan.
Janice Callahan. Come on down.
Okay.
Janice, stand right here.
Okay.
Now, everybody can see Janice pretty good. Janice, come on up this way. We'll make sure everybody sees you. Janice, come here. Janice is going to stand here. Now, Janice is what we call a warranty deed. She actually, okay, you're going to be a warranty deed for the day? When you woke up this morning, what time did you get up?
I got up at 7.
I got up at 6:30.
Oh, bless your heart.
Right to kill me. My wife was like, why is all those alarm clocks going off? You know, I had four. But Janice is the warranty deed. She evidences where the ownership is transferred from seller to buyer. And if we could pretend that this is a timeline continuum, she represents where ownership is transferred. Sir, what is your name?
Brian.
Brian? Come on up, Brian. Brian, do you know Janice?
No.
Janice, Brian, nice Brian, Janice, nice. Good. Stand right here. Now, Brian represents the security deed on the property. And it's being filed. Where is it going to be filed? In the courthouse after the warranty deed, right? You all know this. And chances are, if he is the first mortgage or first debt on the property, he's going to be filed immediately after her. They'll probably file the two documents together. So this will be in page 1, deed book 1, page 1. He's deed book 1, page 2. Now, let's say that in our hypothetical real estate transaction, that $100,000 property was purchased. And let's say that one of those dinosaur 80-20 loan packages was put together to where they actually borrowed $80,000 on the first mortgage to purchase property, and then they piggybacked another 20. So what must we now have besides Brian? What is your name?
Carolyn.
Carolyn, come on down. So we've got to have a second mortgage on the property or a second deed to secure debt, and she will be filed after Brian. I want to explain to you something because this is so important. The date that these things are filed with the county is so vitally important. It's so vital that you get this. Let's say, for example, that in our little 80-20 situation, let's say that maybe you're not an 80-20, you were maybe a home equity line that came later or something. Anyway, these are two different mortgage companies, two different lenders, okay, that have done this. And let's say that all of a sudden that the homeowner, the buyer, is not paying on Brian's mortgage. I mean, for months. What is Brian's mortgage company going to do? They're going to foreclose. And you need to realize that at a foreclosure sale at the county steps, if that occurs, then the second mortgage, Carolyn, just walk away, is eliminated from the property. That is so important to know. Now, I mean gone. So if I go there and I buy it for $80,000 and the second lender doesn't come in to make a bid on the property, and oftentimes they do not, then it's just gone. It's just wiped off. It's absorbed by that second mortgage lender as just the cost of doing business. Now come back, Carolyn, for a second. Let's say, for example, that everything's fine with Brian's mortgage. Everybody's paying fine. But let's say that all of a sudden the homeowner does not pay Carolyn's mortgage company. And let's say she's a different company and Carolyn forecloses. And all of a sudden she's a $20,000 debt. So it goes to the foreclosure auction. And all of a sudden I go, $20,000 for a $100,000 house? I'm getting all excited, right? But there's one problem. We've got an indebtedness, a security deed that is filed who is superior to that junior lien. So guess what? It remains with the property. So hypothetically, I could hand them a $20,000 check. That's the way, I like it, and get all excited, and then find out that the property is still responsible for $80,000 of debt. And if I sell the property, I can't sell it for $40,000, can it? I've got to sell it for enough to get back my $20,000 and hopefully get enough to pay off that first $80,000. All right, give them a hand. Very good, guys. So it's very important that you and I realize in dealing with foreclosure property that it's so important. The date that it's filed. Is it the date that's signed that's important? No, it is the date of recordation, the date that that thing is recorded. And legal title reverts to the owner once the debt is paid in full. If you are in here and you own your house free and clear, guess what? You have legal title. How many of y'all have legal title in here? Who'd admit that? Several of you. Awesome. Say amen.
Amen.
Those people need to say amen. All right, the foreclosure process. Let's go through the foreclosure process and tell you how it happens in Georgia. First thing that happens is an event of default. And the most common default on a mortgage obligation is a monetary default, which simply means the homeowner has stopped making the payment. Is that happening a lot now? You better believe it is. The second type of default that could trigger a foreclosure is something called a non-monetary default, which would be something like what? Does anyone know? Insurance, right? If they fail to insure the property, that would be a non-monetary default and could actually trigger the foreclosure provisions. All right, and the lender, after a homeowner has defaulted, must make a written demand upon the borrower to cure the default, and will normally give them around 30 days to cure it. They're going to send a nasty letter out. They're probably going to send it certified mail. And they're going to say, if you don't pay, you ain't staying. And you've got this amount of time to cure the debt, or we're going to foreclose on you. If they do not cure the default, then what happens is the lender will accelerate the debt and call the entire debt due and payable within 30 days. Now, if John Doe can't make an $800 payment, What is the probability that John Doe is going to pay the entire $100,000? It ain't very likely. It ain't very likely to happen. And the lender will invoke something that is within the security deed that is called a power of sale clause that gives them the power to sell that under a foreclosure. The foreclosure sale is published in the legal organ of the county, in the county where the property is located. Everybody know where the legal organ is in the county that you work mostly, or the couple of counties that you work? If it's in Carroll County, it's the Times, Georgia. If it's Cobb County, what is Cobb County? The Marietta
Daily Journal.
Daily Journal, right? So if you don't know where the legal organ is in the county, all you got to do is go to the Georgia Secretary of State's website, do a little search for legal organ. It'll pull them all up for all, 159 counties in the state of Georgia. And each county has a legal organ or a legal newspaper. And that's where the foreclosure will be published. And it is published for 4 consecutive weeks prior to the sale. As an investor, I want you to put investor hat on, or even if you're working with sellers, things of that nature, I'll say this. If in our county, the foreclosures are published on Thursdays, and that varies from county to county, okay? But I will look in a month, let's say for example in the month of April, let's say there are 5 Thursdays in a month. And I'm going to say that I'm going to base my entire research of researching these properties to buy on getting the first week's paper. Guess what? Chances are all of the foreclosure listings are not going to be listed. So I can look in it, and probably some of them are, but I need to get the second week's paper because it's going to be listed for 4 consecutive weeks before the sale. So let's make you aware of that. And in the state of Georgia, the bulk majority of foreclosures in the state of Georgia are what's called non-judicial foreclosures. See, we don't understand how good we got it or how bad we got it if you're the homeowner in the state of Georgia. Because in a lot of states, guess what they have to do? They have to go and file a lawsuit, actually, have a judge rule whether or not a lender can foreclose on the property. That ain't so in the state of Georgia. We have what's called a non-judicial foreclosure. A judge is not involved. All they got to do is follow all the rules and regulations and attesting that they've not paid the mortgage, and they're fine. No judge involved. And the sale is the first Tuesday of every month in every county in the state of Georgia. First Tuesday of each month. If it falls on New Year's Day or it falls on the 4th of July, then it'll be the first Wednesday of the month. Now, as an investor who likes to buy property at the foreclosure sales, guess what are 2 months that I love to go to the foreclosure sale? July and January. I'm actually going to show you a property a little later in our program that we actually bought, I think it was on January 4th. How many people were at the foreclosure sale that day on January 4th out in the freezing cold? Just me. I was the only fool out there. And we had a great time. Or on the 4th of July, if it ever happens around the 4th of July, how many of y'all take vacation during 4th of July? A lot of us, don't we? We always out of town doing something. Who's thinking about going to the steps and buying a foreclosure? Mostly nobody, except for me. And the foreclosure sale happens between the hours of 10 and 4. And here's the bad news for a foreclosure sale at the steps. If you're calling the foreclosing attorney who's actually handling the foreclosure, guess what? Most of the time, are they going to tell you what time they're going to be there? I'll just be there whenever I get there. Sorry. I'm like, okay. You know, they never tell you. So I always have to camp out at the foreclosure sale. 10 and 4 o'clock. And it's at the courthouse steps. And I mean at the courthouse steps. A lot of people says, oh, there must be a room in the courthouse where they do these things. There's probably a court. No, no, no. It's out on the courthouse steps. And can I tell you how many people will call me and go, Bobby, are you in trouble? I'm like, no, why? Well, man, we see you at the courthouse all the time. And I have to explain to them what I'm doing. They have no idea what I'm doing there. Now, I want you to kind of put on your realtor hat again. I want to take you out of the world of thinking as an investor, and I actually want you to think that you're a real estate professional again. And let's talk about remedies for a homeowner pre-foreclosure. Remedies for a homeowner pre-foreclosure. And here they are. The first remedy is to bring payments current. Does that happen very often if you're 6 months behind? You don't just get 6 months of, you know, payments and say, oh, hallelujah, it's current. The second thing is to refinance. Does that happen often? Not a lot. Why? If you're 6 months behind on your mortgage, who's going to refinance you? Right? Just about nobody. So the third thing that people could do, and this is becoming more and more prevalent, is to try to work out a loan modification wherein the terms of the loan are altered or changed. For example, the lender could come in and change the interest rate. They could come in, change the interest, lower the interest rate. They could lower the payment. They could do something, you know, do something with the terms, so loan modification. That's extremely difficult to accomplish sometimes too with a lender. Okay, even though it's becoming more and more common. Borrow money from friends, relatives, and etc. And guess what? Most of the time, etc. don't come through. It just doesn't happen. A lot of times the family and friends just don't come through. Because guess what? The family and friends know that they're not going to get paid back either. How many of you would make a loan to someone if they were 6 months behind on the mortgage? It just ain't happening. All right, so this is where you, the professional, are fixing to come in. File bankruptcy? Well, they could. But guess what? Does a bankruptcy stop a foreclosure? It does, dead in its tracks for a while. But guess what? If you just simply say, I'm going to file bankruptcy, hallelujah, I don't have to ever pay my mortgage again, and I'm going to get to keep the house, that doesn't happen. So this really is not a viable alternative. If they file a Chapter 13, could they possibly make payments, catch up their arrearage? Yes. If they file a Chapter 7, what's going to happen? They're probably going to lose it. The trustee's going to take it and sell it if there's equity in there. Or the lender's going to file a motion for relief from stay and get that property back. So it really doesn't help. Here's where you come in. Perhaps they could sell the property. But what's the problem with most of these houses? They owe more than what is worth. So that brings us to something that is called a short sale. And a short sale might be a viable alternative for the homeowner. And you as a real estate professional need to familiarize yourself with the provisions of a short sale. So let's talk about it. What are the benefits to the homeowner of selling prior to the foreclosure? Well, it keeps the foreclosure off of their credit report. And I know what you're thinking. If you're 6 months behind on your mortgage, the credit report probably ain't looking too good anyway. But some studies that I have read have indicated that a foreclosure on a credit report can lower a credit score by up to 100 points. It is devastating. It is almost as bad as a bankruptcy on a credit report. So if you're talking to homeowners that have given up, you know, I just can't do it, I just get my... Well, look, dude, it's going to kill your credit report. And tell them, hey, up to 100 points it can knock off. And the benefit of selling is to have a fresh start. Has anyone in this room ever needed a fresh start in your life? Everybody's needed that. So let's sell this thing, get it out of the way, and just get us a fresh start. And it is an opportunity for the homeowner to get some cash, if indeed they have equity in the property. The only problem is, most of the time they don't have equity.